So here we go again, the James Whale Radio Show brought to you by Dead Air Podcasts.
You are listening to Nick, James, and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
That was almost professional. I hate to think how the program's going to go. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for joining us. James Whale here on the World Wide Web. And this is our radio show between now and, well, whenever we finish. Maybe 10 minutes, could be longer, could be an hour, could be more if you're very unlucky. Anyway, before we start, tell your friends about it as well. We want to try and get as many people listening to the program as popular as possible. Nick and Nob are here. We apparently get lots and lots of response about Nob. How is he? He's fine.
But Rob, he doesn't want to be Nob.
Rob and Nob, or Nick and
Last
Nob.
Last week you were calling me Nob, and now you're calling Rob Nob.
Yeah, Rob Nob, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Listen, guys, as I get used to you, I will, of course, be able to differentiate between the two different sounds. At the moment, just a little bit difficult because you both sound the same.
But, James, we're all in the studio together. You can see us.
Yeah, I know, but I you both look very similar, too. I mean, that's the frightening thing.
Yeah, stop that.
Let's move swiftly on and talk about the program today. Today we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about press regulation. I think that's quite important. It's a topic of conversation amongst all the lovies, very worried about whether or not our freedom of speech is going to be curtailed. Kids' literature. Apparently kids are less literate than their grandparents, which doesn't show this country in a very good light, because as one of the richest and most advanced countries, yes, we are, in the world, our literature is very bad. And perhaps we can find out why that is. And also, e-cigarettes. You know, these are the things that you, I don't know if you smoke. I don't know, Rob and Nob, whether you smoke or not, but I don't smoke. But I'm seriously, these e-cigarettes look rather a nice thing to have. You can have it dangling around your neck. Do you think it's a bit too sexy? It's a thought, isn't it? Think about it.
Smoking in any form is bad and should be banned completely.
Well, they're thinking of making these a prescription only, but nobody can decide whether they are dangerous or not.
I thought people had been ill from them.
Have they? I haven't heard that, I must admit, but you may know more than me.
Nicotine is a drug, and drugs generally are not good for you, so anything that gets nicotine into your body is therefore bad for you.
Well, hang on. Please, let's not go over the top. I've put my beer down. I mean, and then there's no coffee either, so what is going on? So we'll talk about that, e-cigarettes, and whether or not they are they're going to be the panacea to end smoking and all those horrible conditions, or whether they're just going to be another terrible addiction for people. So we're going to start off with religion, though, guys. Are either of you religious?
No. Although, in the last census, I did put down that I was a Jedi.
Well, that was a rather stupid thing to put down, wasn't it?
Why?
Why on earth did you deface the census like that?
Well, what good is the census?
Well, it is. It's just, you know, they want all this serious. Why don't you do what I do?
What's that?
Just not fill it in.
Or move out at midnight.
Well, they keep saying they threaten you and say if you don't fill in the census, they're going to come round and do sort of horrible things to you.
Yeah.
I keep waiting. The last time somebody came round and rang the bell in the block of flats I lived in and said, have you completed your census form? I said, no, I'm very sorry. Can you come back later? And I never saw them again. So I don't know. But, you know, of course, I'm being very naughty. You should fill out your census. Anyway, back to religion. What?
I was going to say I filled it out, but I filled it out mischievously because I'm same as you. I filled it out because of the threats, I suppose. But obviously when you're answering the questions, you're like, yeah, whatever.
Well, yeah, exactly. And some of the questions are absolutely stupid. But the problem is they base how they're going to run the country for the next 10 years on what's on the census. And the other thing is, you know, if just imagine in 100 years' time or 150 years' time, if they do one of those programs like they have on where you trace your ancestors, just imagine you're tracing your ancestors and everybody's been bloody filling it in the wrong way round.
Well, at least they'll know I was a Jedi.
they're going to have programs in the future based on complete rubbish. Anyway, just a thought. Just a thought. Can we just say to all those of you out there who've been getting in touch via Twitter and Facebook, thank you very much indeed. And don't forget, tell your friends about us. We're here all the time. Because the amazing thing about being online, you can listen to this over and over and over and over and over again. When I look at you like that, hang on, when I look at you, then you can speak, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
What is that noise?
It's a motorbike.
It's a motorbike.
Can they not read the signs in the car park?
Well, we've got a car park at the back, but a main road at the front.
Yeah. Well, I know. I park in the car park.
Yes, I know.
Yes, because I'm here with you.
He's here with us in the studio.
Yeah, we're all together in the studio.
That's a nice car you drive. What car is it again?
It's got four wheels.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, here's that pen that I borrowed off you, James.
All right. Okay, put it down there.
Okay.
Thank you.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show, Worldwide Whale, produced by...
Dead Air Podcast, Nick and Rob.
Nick and Rob, or Rob and Nob, whichever you prefer.
You didn't tell us about religion.
I'm just about to start.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I told you about some of the subjects I thought we'd cram into the full program today. Let's talk about teaching religion in schools, because that is something that has been spoken about, that apparently those in authority over us, Hail Mary, you can't say Hail Mary, can you? Give me a hallelujah or something. It's all religious, isn't it? Think that religion isn't being taught in schools properly. Now, let's talk about religion because, of course, I don't want to be accused of blasphemy, and nor do you.
Of course not.
Is that all right?
I don't mind.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
Because blasphemy is one of those, is still one of those things that really upsets people. And blasphemy is basically taking the mick out of people's beliefs. You're a Jedi.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before.
Okay.
And if I was to make light of your belief in being a Jedi, I it wouldn't be illegal because blasphemy only covers Christianity. I would be a nasty person for taking the mick out of you because you believe something.
Yeah, but I would just put you down as being on the dark side.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So here we are. I have a problem with religion. Now, I'm not saying, and never have said, that I don't believe in God, because that would be ridiculous, because I have no idea whether God exists or not. But I'm pretty sure that the planet did not start via Adam and Eve. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Good. So when we're teaching religion in schools, it should be taught all religions of the world and why people have decided to believe certain things, right? What we shouldn't be doing in school, and I hope we are not, is still teaching our children that these are facts, when in fact they are faiths. They are people's beliefs. There is absolutely no route to prove that these are facts. And as long as we teach religion and all the religions of the world so that we can all understand each other better and why we have strange beliefs, fine. But I don't want to see us having schools, and this whole debate will continue. There's been a school, I think, in Derby, which is one of these new free schools, which is a Muslim school. And they have been teaching, obviously, their faith in a way that has made it very difficult for people who do not believe what they believe to go to the school. Now, we live in a free world, I hope, basically. We can all believe whatever we want. You can be a Jedi, and I can't.
Why not?
Well, because I just don't believe in it.
Have you watched Star Wars?
But, yes, and I don't believe in it.
Oh.
But I'm not saying you're wrong, because you could be right. Do you see what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah, but I think it's important we all know about each other's beliefs, but they mustn't be taught as a fact. And having said that, I really think it's about time we removed religion from state. You know, we have our monarch as the head of the Church of England. I think it's about time we separated it. That's my personal feeling, you know. And I think we should teach religion in a way that we teach people this is what some people of the world believe, but it's a faith, it's a belief. As far as I'm concerned, that is the only way that is going to bring some sort of harmony to this world. And, you know, people are doing appalling and atrocious things in the name of religion at the moment. And it has to stop. It really has to stop. You know, religion cannot be indoctrinated into children. I think actually, you know, taking people and showing and children, taking them to churches, mosques and synagogues and showing them what people of faith do is fine. But indoctrinating children into a faith is wrong. If you get a faith, you will get it at a certain time. You might be young, you might be old. If you, you know, I've met people who got a faith later in life, people who got a faith when they were very young, people who I could stand and say, you're talking rubbish. And they say, James, I'm not. It's what I believe. I truly, truly believe. And you couldn't shake them.
The problem is that the people behind the religions know that if children aren't taught this stuff at an early age, it's going to be very difficult to win them over later.
Yeah, I agree. I went because, you know, when I went to school, possibly the same for you guys, I don't know, most of the junior schools were Church of England.
Yeah, was for me.
And so I was brought up just thinking that this was a fact.
Yeah.
Three wise men came along and we did this every year at Christmas and this is a fact and you can't... When in actual fact, the Bible, and I can only talk about the Christian religion, I don't know anything much about the others, is something that's been written, rewritten, translated, retranslated. So, you know, and the best will in the world, there goes that flipping motorbike again. Have a word with him. The best will in the world...
We can't you catch can't, him.
Well, no, and don't try. Sit down. The best will in the world, you've got to stop. I was on a television show the other day talking about this with a religious preacher. He wanted to be called a pastor. Interesting guy, Mr. Hargreaves. He wrote all the hits for Five Star. And I said, children have got to be taught. Yeah. I said, you want children taught that Adam and Eve is a fact, and that's how this world began. And he just looked at me, and I said, is that what you want us to teach children? And he said, I think you're being very perverse. I said, I'm asking a question. It's simple. Do you or don't you? And then the presenter of the program tried to move us on.
Mm.
But it has to be addressed. Religion is divisive.
Do you think in 2,000 years' time, people will look back at this time and think that there is the new Jesus could be Dynamo the Magician? Because I did see a TV program that he was on where he walked across the River Thames.
You see, I'm tempted to go with you on this, but in my world, this is too serious a subject, and that we are here in the 21st century still allowing religion to have a place that puts it above bigotry in many cases. You know, the whole business that religion and all religions, the main religions, all teach that women are second-class citizens. Well, they don't teach it, but they think that women are not as important as men. Whatever they say, that's why the debacle about women priests and everything else.
Without women, there'd be no men.
Of course. And before Christianity and Islam were heard of, most of the small religions had goddesses, not gods. Goddesses were more prevalent. I just wonder why in the 21st century is it because we're all frightened of dying?
Yes.
Is it because we're all hanging on to this idea that when we die, whatever life was like, how shitty life was, that the next place is going to be better? Is that what we're all trying to hang on to? Why terrorists, you know, Muslim terrorists believe it's okay doing what they're doing? They're doing it in a good cause, and they're going to end up with, 30 or 40 virgins in paradise. Is that right?
I don't know about them. They may have other issues that we're not aware of. But I definitely think that when you're a little kid and your nan dies and your parents tell you she's in heaven now, it's their way of making you feel better.
I understand that, and I appreciate that, and I think that's exactly what you should do. But I think you can do it in different ways. I think you can explain that nobody ever completely dies. You just, you know, things metamorphose into another state. Mm-hmm. And we all have ideas in our mind what will happen to us when that day comes, and that day will come to all of us. But I still think that's what it's the fear of death that we all have is inbuilt in all of us. The fear of death, which allows religion to keep such a prominent place.
Yeah, but James, were you afraid in 1636?
It's a long time. I don't remember my existence in 1636.
Well, that's what death is like.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, there we are. So let's ponder that wider question. And all I'm suggesting, by the way, is nobody's religion is bad. Nobody's... What is, you know, I find hard to accept is that people believe that they, for some reason, are chosen, that their religion means they are better and more important than other people, so much so that they're prepared to kill for it. And this applies to most religions. Don't, you know, people have this idea, oh, this terrible Islam is against us all. And, you know, back in, well, before 16, whatever it was, in the time of the Crusades, you know, let's remember the flag of St. George is basically a flag that commemorates some pretty horrific things done in the name of religion to anybody who wasn't a card-carrying Christian.
It wouldn't happen in the Jedi Order, you know.
Well, I'm beginning to actually feel that maybe being a Jedi is probably a better way to go. Let's move on. Let's hope that people learn to appreciate other people's beliefs and faiths, and other people learn to appreciate the other beliefs and faiths, and then everybody can get on together, can't they? You're right. Mention for Audio Boo, who transmit this program. Of course, you can download us on Audio Boo, talentgb.com. You can get us there. On the website, jameswhaleradioshow.co.uk.
That's right.
You get us everywhere. On YouTube, you get us on YouTube. Tell your friends. Let's talk about press regulation. Please. Anybody worried about it?
No, I don't read the papers.
You'll never regulate the press.
I don't think you will. And I don't think... I think there should be some sort of code of ethics, particularly when you're chasing after somebody who doesn't want to be in the media, somebody who's, you know, we're talking about celebrity. I don't think it really matters one way or the other. But, you know, all this phone hacking and all the Leveson inquiry and everything else.
Yeah.
Had the people, I don't know what people think journalists do to get their information, by the way, but they do all sorts of strange and some underhand things, going through people's bins, probably trying to find out what their emails say and their phone messages and stuff like that. I'm not condoning it, by the way. I'm just saying that investigative journalists do all sorts of stuff, and you'll never stop them, should never stop them. And had the phone hacking been to do with stopping a terrorist attack on this country, there wouldn't have been the outcry that there was. But because journalists have got themselves all excited about, you know, what do you call it, human interest stuff about what's happening, celebrities tuning into a girl who'd sadly been murdered and finding out what had been on her phone, that was unspeakable and appalling. And those people should have been heartily chastised for doing it. But, you know, you can't stop people trying to find out if somebody's doing wrong. And we need to know whether politicians and people who make decisions that affect all of us are behaving properly.
There are two things I want to mention here.
Really?
One is...
That sounds serious.
It's not really hacking if you just happen to, you know, phone the voicemail system and put the default PIN number in, which is usually 0000. That's not really hacking. That's just really bad security on the part of the phone companies, which has now been fixed and which can't be done anymore. The second thing was people shouldn't really leave sensitive information in a way that it could potentially be accessed. There was a story about Prince William that someone had left a message on his voicemail that contained information about where he was going to be. And that was something that should never have happened in the first place. So I just think that it's got to be done on both sides, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why when you ring me, and if you can't get me, you won't find that there is any voicemail on my phone. There never has been.
Do you really care?
I don't care.
No.
Well, no, I don't care at all, except that if I had had voicemail and people had hacked into me, I might have had a few bob in the bank.
Because you could have sued.
Well, yeah. I'm just sad that I haven't got PPI or something as well.
Didn't you have any PPI?
No, I don't think I've got any, no. I'm too tight. I'd have always said, I don't want that. I don't need it.
I think the world that these journalists operate in is so cutthroat, and it's like everything else. It's all about the money that they can make. It's a very competitive industry.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Yeah.
And they will go to whatever lengths they can to get an exclusive. Because at the end of the day, this is all about selling papers. And
you know, there is another side to this, of course, is that we are responsible as well, because we buy the papers, and we obviously vote with our money in buying the papers which have more salaciousness in it.
Exactly.
So maybe we have to take part of the blame as well.
But I think that people now find the papers to be a lot less credible than they did 10 years ago. So in a way, this whole thing has just damaged the papers, I think, beyond repair. And it's,
are you, listen, let's move this on. Let's talk about GCHQ. You know that the boss of MI5 has said that he thinks that we have to be more careful about people wanting to curtail what MI5 and other agencies like that do to protect us. Are you concerned that our emails may be read, that people may listen into your phone calls and stuff like that?
Not at all.
You see, nor am I.
No.
What's wrong with some of these people who care so much? You know, if they really think that the spooks are going to go through ordinary, boring emails and find out you've been talking to your auntie Ada about Christmas dinner or something, well, get over yourself.
Yeah, and how many times have you been, you know, on a train or what, even walking down the street and heard someone's phone conversation because they've been next to you chatting away and you can hear everything they're saying?
It's one of the great, great things I look forward to, travelling on the train.
The irony here, of course, well, I don't know if it's an irony, but the stupid thing about it all is that the people who would do harm to others are not going to use any of the methods that are being monitored.
Exactly.
Which makes all of the monitoring completely redundant. Because if I know that my phone calls are being recorded, I just won't use the phone. I'll just arrange to meet. You know,
but people don't think like that. You see, the people who get upset about it are the people who are never going to be listened to. The people who've all been demonstrating when they cared and they don't anymore outside the Ecuadorian, wherever it is, South American embassy in Knightsbridge about Julian Assange, all the lovies and left wingers, all complaining about how badly he's been treated. You'll notice that most of them have disappeared now, by the way. Are the people nobody's really interested in. And by the way, him and the other chap who have been so-called whistleblowers, I don't honestly have any sympathy for them at all.
Why?
Because I think they make the world a more dangerous place. I mean, what do they hope to achieve?
Scaring everybody.
Well, they scare people, but then are you seriously going to tell me that the Russian Secret Service, the British, the Americans, and any other secret service around the country aren't going to continue to do whatever it is they have to do to keep us safe? Because, of course, they are.
Of course they are. They're not going to stop.
No.
And so even if they say, oh, well, we're going to curtail just how many, you're going to have to go and get you're going to have to get this and you're going to have to get that document before you can listen to these calls or that call or do this or do that. By that time, we'll all have been blown to smithereens. So if they need to do it, they'll do it. And when it comes down to it, listen, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, I know people say, oh, well, it starts there, big brother, then you'll start talking in a certain way and people won't. I don't believe we will ever get to that situation in this country, do you?
No, I don't think so.
No.
You know, there are too many of us tucked away in little corners like this doing this. Mind you. No, nobody's in here. Sorry, it's not me, I'm out. Got to be very careful, you never know who's listening.
So what do you think about CCTV all over the place then?
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I'm really not fussed And unless, of course, I'm drunk and falling down and I appear on one of these reality shows, I suppose I would be concerned. What I would like to see is better quality CCTV. Yeah. Yes. And I'd like to see CCTV, if you've got it in your area, having some relationship to cutting back the amount you pay in insurances.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't understand why the camera on my phone in my pocket is better quality than the big camera bolted onto the side of the building outside.
No, I don't either. I don't. And this has to be addressed. And people say, oh, well, I know people who've begged to have CCTV put up in their area to stop antisocial behaviour. And then when it's been put up, the trouble has disappeared.
So it works.
I think it works. I don't know why people get so upset about it. What are some people getting up to that they don't want other people to know about? If somebody breaks into my house, I hope there's some CCTV camera somewhere that gets it and they can catch the people.
There is. We put one there the other week.
Well, there's.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah. Yeah.
People think they're important. That's the problem. But there's a new thing now that security guards have started wearing these GoPro HD video cameras on their uniforms. So that, you know, like if you're outside a nightclub,
yeah,
and the bouncer is asking you to leave because you might be causing trouble, he will say, just to let you know, everything's being recorded. You are on film, and it really does reduce incidents because people will not misbehave if there's a HD camera recording everything they do.
Wouldn't it be great if the same could be said for cyclists?
What do you mean? They should wear cameras?
Some of them do.
To stop people running them off the road?
Well, I don't know why they wear them, because their behaviour, I'm afraid, is appalling. I'm sorry, but I'm not anti-cyclist. I'm not anti-anything. I just think some people have got to stop behaving in the way they do. And there's this great idea that if you're cycling, you're saving the planet. If you're cycling, you're a good person. If you're driving, you're a bad person. And that is wrong. I've just come from London, and I have just seen two cyclists cut up the biggest articulated lorry that has a sign on the back that says, "Cyclists, please don't come on the inside. I have bad visibility on it." And they've done exactly that. And when they nearly got hit, they were shouting and gesticulating. And of course, then everybody feels bad. If you're a cyclist, you are very vulnerable. If you're a cyclist behaving stupidly, you are going to come off completely worse than a car or a wagon or whatever. And the incidence of cyclists being killed on the roads is going up and up and up. And I think cyclists, now it's no good saying, oh, car drivers are terrible people. There are some appalling car drivers, absolutely appalling car drivers. But cyclists have got a better view and visibility and better hearing, if they haven't got those stupid things stuck in their ears while they're cycling, than car drivers and lorry drivers. And they've got to be more careful about what they're doing. Zooming around in and out of cars in heavy traffic is just a recipe for disaster.
Some cyclists also seem to think that just because they're on a bike, they can do anything they want. And I'll give you an example. On the way to the studio just now, two cyclists rode down the road, full pelt, the wrong way down a one-way street, and a car was coming out of a junction. The car didn't look up the street because it's a one-way street, and it almost knocked into the bikes. The bikes stopped, and of course they were screaming at the driver, even though they were in the wrong.
Yeah, and guess, of course, who would have been in a lot of trouble if the cyclist had been hit? It would have been the car driver.
Yeah, and to make it worse, it was a learner driver as well, so he didn't have a lot of experience, and he was really shaken up by it.
Yeah.
Could you say a system where we can issue penalty points to cyclists?
Well, I've got a really good idea. A really good idea, and I've said it on radio all over the place. Listen, it's very simple, because, first of all, cyclists have got to have insurance.
They must
have insurance,
yep.
And they must be responsible for what they do. So what you need to do, it's not the cycle, it's the cyclist. And because cycles, and you change them, and if you're in London, you might be using a Boris bike. Everybody should have to wear a high visibility, what do they call them, tabard.
Yep.
And on the back of the high visibility tabard must be your registration number.
Yep.
It's simple.
That's a brilliant idea.
And we could manufacture them.
I think the points should come off your driving license.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the cyclists, Nick's right, red lights, cutting across. They got no.
They just don't care. They just don't care. That because they're on a bike. They're not accountable for their actions.
James Whale, James Whale, James Whale Radio Show.
Now, anyway, listen, guys. Just remind people how they can hear us, and well, they'll know listening. But just to mention, we'd like to thank talentgb.com. Audioboo.
Yeah, we've got our own channel on Audioboo. Audioboo.fm/James Whale.
Yeah, go to them.
We're on Facebook.
Find us everywhere.
Yeah,
JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk. YouTube, yeah. You get us all over the place. Tell your friends. Join us, James Whale Radio Show. Every week there's a new edition of this program. And if you haven't heard the other ones, then you can download those and listen as well. And if you want to get in touch and give us some suggestions, like Shirley did, she wanted to hear us talk about religion, which we've done, please do get in touch. You could tweet me at TheJamesWhale. How else can they get in touch?
Just Google James Whale and ignore Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein is not me. He was before me. I interviewed myself, James Whale, at one point. It wasn't me. It was when the film Gods and Monsters came out, which was about the life of the film director James Whale. Had a very sad end, you know.
How did it
ended end? Up face down in his swimming pool in Hollywood.
Oh dear.
And Sir Ian McKellen played James Whale. So I interviewed Sir Ian McKellen about being me.
Mm-hmm.
Which it doesn't sound funny now, but at the time it was hilarious. Well, I thought it was funny. So we haven't had much humour in the programme today. It's been a bit serious, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been very serious.
I'm slightly concerned about that. Now, listen, don't forget my night at the Library Theatre in Luton. If you haven't got your tickets, get in touch with the Library Theatre in Luton for November the 9th. Rob and Nob may well make a guest appearance on the evening.
We will be there.
So may Shane Ritchie. He's threatening to come and take the mic, which will be nice.
You'll recognise us. We'll be wearing the James Whale t-shirts.
Oh, don't embarrass me. Please don't embarrass me.
You are listening to Nick, James and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
Right, let's talk about e-cigarettes.
Okay.
Have you seen these? These little things now. And they look... Do you remember when you went to school you could get them? They used to puff on them, and they had a little red end that glowed, and then sort of pretend smoke would come out.
And there's a lot of shops popping up all over the place.
Mm. And you get different ones. You know, like the Hubbly Bubbly pipes you can get in those Arabic restaurants. Have you ever been in any of those?
No.
They're sort of, you know...
You're going to different restaurants than us.
Yeah. Well, you're not very...
Cultured?
You're not very cultured, are you, really, to be honest? But anyway, stick with me, guys. Who knows where it could end? Like the Hubbly Bubbly pipes, they put in a little thing with different flavoured smoke in. I don't know much about it. I'm just seeing they keep talking about them. Now they're going to make them prescription only and take away the fun. If they don't do the harm that smoking a cigarette does, and if they help people get off their nicotine addiction, that must be good, mustn't it?
I think they're a fad, and I don't think they work. I know a lot of people who've tried them, and they've gone back to smoking regular cigarettes.
Well, if you smoke right them, there. if you smoke, are we allowed to advertise cigarettes on online or not?
No, just remember for they're, that they're silky bad. Smooth taste.
They're bad.
Yeah.
Marlboro.
Yeah.
They'll kill you.
Yeah. Yes, clear as a mountain stream. Do you
they'll
remember
kill
that
you.
One?
They're bad.
What? Yeah. Well, this is, I've always wanted to have cigarette advertising on my programs. I don't smoke. I think you'd be absolutely bloody stupid to smoke. All right. But, you know, you do the advert here. Menthol, they don't make menthol cigarettes anymore, do they? But back in the 60s, back
really
in what was me
this?
Hitting.
I'll do the advert. I'll do it.
For hitting
that,
the microphone.
For that
Go
crisp,
on.
Smooth taste at the end of a busy day, relax with a Marlboro Red. Marlboro, made by Philip Morris. Mm.
And remember that while you're dragging on your Marlboro, whatever...
We're all going to die.
It's going to mess you up. You're going to get lung problems, heart problems. You're going to die a really nasty death. But now you are armed if that is somebody selling something again, tell them to sod off.
Sorry, probably Philip Morris phoning to
complain. Well, I wonder. Oh, no, it's somebody wanting to advertise on the next show. Great. And if you want to advertise on the next show, get in touch with the guys from Dead Air Podcasts. Because you can deal with that.
As long as you're not selling fags.
We have to put the disclaimer now, because obviously all adverts these days have got a disclaimer at the end.
Yeah, hang on, I haven't finished yet. But what we do with the advert for the cigarettes, we'd say, if you're stupid enough to smoke, good luck to you. Now, you know it's going to kill you in the end, but if you still want to, consulate. Cool as a mountain stream.
Warning, cigarettes seriously damage your health and may contain other side effects such as antisocial behaviour and just looking like a complete idiot.
You know, they're banning e-cigarettes from most shops now. You can't even go into them smoking them.
Can't you?
Nope.
Oh, gosh.
Big signs appearing in the windows.
Yeah.
No smoking.
Well, I don't think I'm going to bother. You've put me off them, to be honest.
Nah, what you want is a good, healthy diet and regular exercise. That's all you need.
Why kill yourself slowly with e-cigarettes when you can kill yourself quickly with real ones?
That's good. Talking about banning things in shops, you know the biggest thing now I've noticed? Dog-friendly shops and restaurants. Which I am in favour of, by the way.
We let dogs in our shop.
Yeah, and why not?
We even let good-looking women in our shop.
Slap him down now. Slap him hard.
What are you talking about? Oh, are you talking about canines?
I'm talking about canines, yes.
Sorry.
And you know, there are restaurants starting up in London where you can take your dog.
That's disgusting.
I think it's great. And there's no law, absolutely no law, because people say, oh, we can't have the dog in here, health and safety. No, you can't probably take your dog into the kitchen of the restaurant.
Well, don't you run the risk of them cooking up your dog?
Don't go to those sort of restaurants, for goodness sake. But seriously, I think it is nice to have restaurants where you can take your dog.
I wouldn't go restaurants. I go pubs, pub restaurants, that kind of thing. I wouldn't expect it in a posh restaurant.
Why not? As long as a dog behaves itself. I was sitting in a restaurant in France not long ago with a woman who had a dog sitting on the chair at the table, and she was feeding the dog on the fork that she was eating off.
I was just going to say something like that. It was for all those women with the little dog in their handbag.
Lap dogs.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a lap dog.
What kind of dog have you
got? Do you have one? Don't knock it. I've got dogs. Anyway, let's talk about something else, shall we?
Can I talk about something? Can I ask you about...
Go on. Yep.
Well, do you remember last week we were talking about immigration and people from other countries and all that stuff? And this week there's a big story about this football player who they want to get him to play in the England team, even though he's not from England.
Yeah, and but he will be.
It's caused a big uproar, and this, you know, everyone's arguing about it. Now, what's your take on this? Should you be born in England to qualify to play for the England team? That's the question.
Well, I don't think so, really. Do you? I think if you've been a resident of a country in the same way that you could become a politician, although you couldn't become president of the United States, I don't think, unless you were born there, although I'm not sure.
That is true.
I think you should be eventually allowed, if you become a citizen of a country, if you say, I'm going to live in England and I want to become Britain and become British, and that's an argument we had last week on the program, wasn't it? I think, yeah, you should be able to. But having said that, I think that we'd be doing a lot better to have a British football team than an English, Welsh or Irish or Scottish football team, wouldn't we?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we've nearly come to the end of the show now, guys, because I'm sure my phone is going to ring again any moment.
Okay.
What else have we left out that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I don't know. Well, no, I think we've talked about everything I wanted to talk about. I was just concerned that we talk about all these good things, we'll have nothing in the programme next week, but then, of course, something will happen between now and then, won't it?
That's very true.
Oh, can I tell you my favourite song of the moment?
Go on.
The new song by George, Boy George. It's just terrific. Have you heard it?
No.
Can we stick it in, or is that
going to
get us into
that.
Trouble?
We could, he gave us permission.
Listen, I'm sure he'd say yes.
Yeah, but that's
he
not good enough.
We George
have to
and
actually
I are friends.
Ask him.
You ask him.
I'll ask him.
You
play
call
it, I'll
him,
ask him.
And if he says yes, we'll play a bit.
Well, look, just anybody gets the chance, listen to the new single by Boy George. It's just tremendous. Okay, so a bit of music this week from Shani Ormanston from Spain. That I know you two guys love this. You think this is great, don't you?
Yeah, we love it, and we love her as well.
I think the place for this is probably Eurovision. But having said that, let's everybody listen to it, and they can decide. It's called Once Upon a Time. Shani Ormanston and Once Upon a Time. You've got no chance, guys, by the way.
What do you mean?
I know what you're up to. You've got no chance.
Right, I don't know. I could turn on my charm, talk to her in Spanish.
That won't work either. That's it, guys. Listen, the end of the James Whale Radio Show, part three or part four. I'm not sure.
No, it was part three.
It was part three, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Listen, let us know what you think. Tweet us, get onto Facebook, leave your messages. And next week, we should have done it this week, guys. Next week, we'll get some of your thoughts out, and we will read them and put them on the program as well. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we will.
Okay. If you're a cyclist, be aware. Car drivers can't see quite as much as you do. And whatever you're doing, just remember the other person thinks similarly to you. We all want a nice life. We all want to look after our families. We all want to have more friends than enemies. And we don't want to argue all the time. Whatever you're doing, look after yourself.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
The James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.